Good morning, everyone. I think we'd all safely say it's never mundane, Dave, when you bring the notices. I think it's always, always exciting when you bring the notices. So my name is Tim Cowles. For those who don't know me, I'm part of the leadership team here. And I'm really excited for this morning. You know, thank you, Jill, for bringing that. I think it really sets a sort of a tone for us for this season. And Carney and Rachel, thank you so much for that time of worship. I was kind of in that time thinking like, I don't want to go up and preach. I just want to sort of spend time enjoying this, enjoying God's presence here with us. And so I'm excited for this morning because I feel there's a real sense as we launch this season, as we launch this new chapter for us as a church, that at the end of this, at the talk, we want to have time where we can just receive. We're exactly what Jill was saying. We can just seek God and say, God, what are you doing with us? What are you saying to us? Where are you leading us? And so we are launching the new vision, and I'm intending to do a shorter talk, and I might even have to do an even shorter talk to make sure we got time for this, because the key thing is not to rush off from God's presence. And, you know, we're going to have a time of ministry, we're going to have a time of worship, we're just going to have a time to see what God wants to do with us, but have expectations. So even now, just as we're sat here, let's just individually just be praying, Lord God, what are you saying to me personally? What are you saying to us as a church? How can I encourage the rest of the church, you know, through me, Lord? What can you bring through me that I can encourage other people? Because, you know, as we're sort of in this new season, we want to rebuild together. You know, we want to rebuild brick by brick, as it were, as we go through this chapter, as we start to gather back more so, and we journey together as a church. We want to journey with clarity. We want to journey with certainty of where God is leading us as a church together. And so the first thing I just want to share is about that we are the church. Do you know this? We are the church. So, you know, the word for church comes from a Greek word, ecclesia, which means, you know, it's either like an assembly of Christians gathered together like we are now in a time of worship, or it's those of us who are anywhere, you know, whether we're in our villages or whether we're in a town, or whether we're in a city, when we're at work, when we're at home, we are still the church together. And it also means the church as a whole, like our brothers and sisters in faith, whether they're, you know, as they mentioned, Mary Mags down the road, or, you know, St. Saviour's or St. Nick's, you know, we are the church in the local area together because we love Jesus and we recognise what he has done for us. So the first thing is that as the church, it's not an out of sight concept. It's not an out of sight, out of mind concept. We are, it's not just the building, it's not just Sundays, it's not just when we're at home groups. We are the church all the time. Yes. You know, we are the church all the time. When we gather or when we're apart, we are the ambassadors of Jesus' kingdom. That's who we are. And you know, we believe that as we're entering this new season, that God is refocusing us as his church here. It's Jubilee Church, it's part of this fellowship, that God is refocusing us. And we've come into a new season where we're seeing, where we've been experiencing a time where we've seen people move on, and we've seen new people start to journey with us, and we're seeing people looking from the outside. You know, this is what happens in church life. You know, people move on whereas God calls them somewhere else. People come and join us, and we see people saved, because that is what the church is about. You know, God is not finished with us yet as a community of believers, and he's got more in store for us, because while we're the church, we are his church. You know, we are his people, and Jesus is the hope for Shepparton, and he is the hope for Spelthorne and Elmbridge and, you know, Runnymede and the surrounding areas, and we get to partner in that. As Mike was saying, we get to be invited into that relationship, to partner with Jesus, with his kingdom building. And so God wants us to be reminded that, not to be disheartened, you know, that we can lift our gaze, we can fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer of our faith, the perfecter of our faith, and we can trust in the promises that he has for us, trust in the plans and purposes that he has for us, because this is his church and we are his people. So as an eldership team, you know, we've been wrestling and seeking God over the last 12 months, really, as to where is God calling us for this next chapter? What is God calling us into as a church? And we feel that God is, you know, in a sense, calling us back to his heart, you know, back to, you know, the beginning, the purposes of the church. you know, and to hold on to the mission, all that we do. So we have a hope, you know, that we're putting our trust in God as an eldership team, as a leadership team, that, you know, this church, us, the people of God here, that we're going to see lives and our community impacted and transformed for good through the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to see, that we as a people of God, we're going to encounter this for ourselves, that we're going to see impact and transformation in our own lives, and that we're also going to see impact and transformation in the people around us, in our friends, our family members, our neighbours, our colleagues, as we start to see the hope of Jesus shine brightly among us. But we also have a heart to see the community that we belong to, and the community that each one of us belong to, you know, whether in our workplaces or neighbours, they're communities that we represent and we find ourselves in, that we would see the love of Jesus also, you know, impact communities and transform communities, such that the communities that we represent and see part of would more and more reflect a place that, you know, reflects the kingdom of heaven. That's what we want to see, that more and more we see in our communities that these places that shine brightly, that want to sort of hunger and thirst after God, that people want to be, these are good places to live because the kingdom of heaven is a great place to be, right? Yeah. So we would see more in the kingdom of heaven, in the local area. And so we have a vision, I think it's still behind me, yes, as a church for how we want to go on this journey, and that we want to be a community of believers who wholeheartedly love God, wholeheartedly love one another, and wholeheartedly do mission together. Hopefully you've received a welcome bag on your entry in. If you didn't, don't worry, there'll be some at the back, in the foyer, that's where it is. Back to me, front, you know, it's all very confusing, isn't it? But in the foyer, on your way out, please grab one. And in there, hopefully you found some goodies as we sort of try to encourage us as a church to sort of take hold of this vision, to be reminded of it, and, you know, in terms of how we want to take it to heart. And so hopefully you've got a notebook. I see many of you are using them already. This is wonderful. Key thing, you've got a pen, hopefully, put your name in it, because otherwise we're going to have a lot of these and we're going to have to be assessing whose handwriting is whose to find its way back home. But this is yours to keep. You know, this is obviously not to give back, not going to mark your homework, as it were, but this is yours, and you can use it for whatever you want, whether you want to use it for as part of church, whether you want to use it for writing recipes in, whether you want to use it for the workplace, whatever you want, use this. This is just for us to remember what is the vision, what are we about as a church going forward. And also in there, hopefully you found a little card, and in there, again, it's just got the same vision, but also on the back, it just has some of the key themes that we're going to be looking at as a church over this next series. You know, as we mentioned, we're building brick by brick. There's so much that the church can do, right? There's so much that we can focus on. And what we want to do is we're coming back into this new season that we just want to focus step by step, brick by brick, not to rush, not necessarily to, you know, to try and do everything at once, but to build the foundations right on where we feel God is calling us. And so over this next coming months, we're going to be looking at each one of these. So if you're looking for a teaching plan, each one of these represents is going to be spoken about. Maybe not in the exact order, but each one of these is going to be spoken about. And so as we're coming over the next months, just pray. Pray in your time, week to week. God, actually, I want to, in this theme, help me, Lord. Would you impact my life? Would you transform my life in respect of my getting into the Bible? Would you impact me in terms of how I can share Jesus? Would you impact me in terms of seeing more signs and wonders in my life? Pray as we dig deeper. And also, hopefully, you find a bit of chocolate in there as well. It's always nice to have a little bit of chocolate to encourage us all. So let's just pray right now before we just tuck into 2 points I just want to share about today. Father, we just thank you that this is your church. Lord, we thank you that you are in control, that you are the hope of the world. You are the light of the world, Lord, and we get to partner with you in all that you do. And so, Father, we just ask that you would just come and meet with us here this morning. Even now, Lord, would you just tangibly by your Spirit just pour out over us? Would you stir us up, Lord, with enthusiasm and excitement for the journey and the adventure that you're calling us to ahead. And Lord, we pray that these words, Lord, would impact us and inspire us such that we'd be spurred and stirred up, as that last song was singing, to go out and to be witnesses and ambassadors for you. Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we really want to just look at two things and hopefully do it justice, but do it quickly, because we want to give time, right? We want to give time and space for God to move. So firstly, I just want to look at two of the last instructions, really the last two instructions that Jesus gave his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And we find the first one at the end of Matthew, in Matthew 28:18-20. And so he's talking about the purpose of the church. He's talking about the mission that he's got for people, for his followers to do. And, you know, each one of us, it says in Ephesians, has good works prepared in advance for us to do. And there's personal things that God has prepared for us in advance to do. But there's also the collective call that Jesus has given us, his church, to do as well. And we find this in Matthew 28:18-20. And it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Jesus has defeated sin on the cross, and he has defeated death at the grave. Some of the prayer that, you know, Salim was calling out earlier, as we were reminded of that. And he has done that for each and every one of us. Whether we've accepted that for ourselves or whether we haven't, the truth remains that Jesus has done that for you. And before he goes back to heaven, Jesus leaves this encouragement and instruction to his disciples. And it's a mini subset that you find in there. But it's shared with enthusiasm, and it's shared with, you know, requirement for energy, requirement for action, requirement to move. He says, therefore, go. Go. It's not a sense of timidity or think about it or just sort of meander. There's a sense of go. I'm calling you to go. I'm calling you to act, to move, to use energy, to mobilize for purpose. And he's saying, I want you to make followers. I want you to baptize them. I want you to teach them. All three are important in the purpose of the church. All three are important in our lives because we are the church. So we are not just called to make followers. We're called to make followers and baptize them, because there is importance in baptism as we think about the physical cleansing to represent the spiritual cleansing of our sins, as we share in the burial into water and the resurrection out of that. There's an importance in baptism. But equally, we're not just called to teach those who have already been saved or who are saved somewhere else, who come into the life of our church, maybe as they've been called by God to come and join with us and journey with us. We're not just called to just teach those and not go out there and go with action and the purpose to seek followers, to baptize them. There is a relationship between all three of these things: to make followers, to baptize them, and to teach them. And it's an ongoing thing. And hopefully, we've got planned for a baptism service in November. So that would be really good. And looking at Paul, we need to have a conversation about the baptism, Paul, at the end of the service. But it's exciting to think there's life. There's life when we have baptisms, right? Because there's life because people have given their lives to Jesus, and they want to demonstrate that through the act of baptism. It's great. There's life. So we're called to be in equal parts missional, and we're called to be in equal parts teaching, developmental, and continually growing, because we want to get closer and closer to Jesus and dig into our faith. And I remember, as a sort of silly illustration, but I remember I did a Tough Mudder race. I don't know if anyone's heard of a Tough Mudder. Essentially, it's like some massive obstacle course, and it's like sort of a 10K race with all these, you know, like dirty, muddy tunnels that you crawl through, and, you know, some sort of skip full of ice water that you go. I don't know why one of my mates thought it was a great idea to do this, but anyway, they thought it was, so we took part in it. And it was a lot of torture for a lot of money, really, to be fair. But But we essentially, one of the obstacles we got to was this 12-foot high vertical wooden wall. And we got approached it. And there's obviously, there's no way, you know, I'm under six foot. I'm not 6 foot. But there's no way that I'm going to make up that difference as we get there. So, you know, you've got to use your friends. You know, you're using your friends. And so between being boosted up and kind of like kicking one of my mates in the face and trying to scramble up, you know, someone who's gone before is reaching down and trying to help us up and manage to get there. But the thing is, like so we approach it, and you know, the first one to go, and at the top of the wall, there's someone I've never met before. There's someone I don't even know. And they're the ones who've stopped and are reaching down and helping. And then when you get to the top of the wall, you know, you don't just jump off and be like, thanks everyone, I'm on my way now. You turn and you stop and you reach down to help the next person up. And if you're the last one out of your mates, you don't just think, well, my group of mates are, we're all in. So we're all okay, so we'll drop down and we'll go on our journey. No, the last person stays and stops and looks down and reaches down and thinks, how can I help out? Because, you know, someone helped you and you feel spurred to then help. And it's exactly the same for us. You know, each one of us who have declared that Jesus is Lord of our lives have come to this place because someone else helped us on the journey. Right, someone else helped us. Someone else stopped and encouraged us on our journey of faith. Someone else spurred us on. Someone else waited patiently for us, you know, as we came to that decision to make that leap of faith. And the important thing is that now that we're saved and we know it for ourselves, let's not be a people who just slip down the wall and go off on our journey going, I'm in, that's it. No, we're called to stop, to turn, to help. That's what Jesus says. Therefore, go. Make followers, baptize them, not to rush off. You know, we'll get to spend eternity enjoying Jesus. But while we're here, we need to be those people, the church, who will stop and think, how can I help my friend, my neighbor, my colleague, my family member? How can I help them on their journey? How can I be a good witness to them? And so the second thing just really want to look at is around mission fueling. So that's the mission. Go, make disciples, make followers, baptize, teach. Second thing is about mission fueling. Do you know, over the first weekend of the fuel crisis, it feels bizarre now, isn't it? 2 weeks later, everything seems completely, you know, normal. But the AA shared that they, in a single weekend, they responded to over 250 call-outs for people that put petrol in their diesel car. Usually over a weekend, they're dealing with tens. 250 they had to respond to. So all these cars broke down because they had the wrong fuel in them. And so putting the wrong fuel in your vehicle can lead to damage to the vehicle. It then requires a complete drain of the fuel tank to get rid of all of that mix of wrong fuel. And ultimately, if you think about it, the car didn't get to serve its purpose because, you know, it failed in its objective to take someone from A to B. The you know, obviously a lot of human error in that, but the principle of what it was intended to do didn't happen. And as we're looking to launch our, you know, this, looking to launch, as we're launching this new vision for us as a church, it is so important that we are fueled correctly. Because if as a church we're not fueled correctly, it can lead to breakdown in ourselves. It can, at worst, it can lead also to damage to the vehicle, to the church. But ultimately, the risk is that the church, us as individuals, as collectively, we don't see the purpose of what God's called us into, the plans that God's prepared for us, because we're not fueled correctly. And so, you know, as a leadership team, we want to be personally fueled. And as a church, we want to be personally fueled for the call that God is stepping us into, for what he's got in store for us to do. And we see this in the second instruction that Jesus gives to his disciples before he ascends to heaven. And we find it in Acts 1, 6 to 8. So it says, then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? You know, they've seen signs and wonders over these last few weeks of spending time. They're like, Jesus, is it go time? Is it go time? You know, have we seen, you know, the end of, you know, we're going to see the end of the Romans? And because they're still not getting it. They still don't know what, you know, it's not about earthly kingdoms, it's about the spiritual kingdom, it's about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus responds to him, he says, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." There is a clear relationship between the move and the advancement of the kingdom of heaven and the move of the Holy Spirit. Like a tsunami, you know, when the water recedes coming out and then the wave comes in with power that hits the beach, hits the villages, hits the towns, keeps going. You just have to look through the Bible. Every powerful advancement of the kingdom of God follows a move of the Spirit. The Spirit comes on the judges and the kingdom advances. The Israelites are saved. The Spirit comes upon David when he's anointed, and this Israel enters his time of almost unparalleled success, a new season for them as kingdom advances. You know, the prophets Elijah and Elisha see incredible signs and wonders as the power of the Holy Spirit comes on them, and there's called out to the people of Israel, all the way to Jesus when he's baptized and the Holy Spirit descends upon him and kickstarts the ministry that he has. And then to his followers at Pentecost, you know, all these people, very ordinary people, just like you and me, make mistakes, just like we do. None of us are perfect. But the power of the Holy Spirit enhances and enables the effectiveness of their witness. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Impact doesn't happen through the strength or the tenacity or the determination of Tim Cowles. It doesn't happen through the strength of Dave Webb Peplow or through you or through, you know, lasting impact definitely doesn't happen through the strength of these things. Lasting impact and complete transformation from the inside out happens through the love of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where lasting impact to change, transformation, where joy and love and just enthusiasm that spills out, that can't be contained, that just bubbles over, effervesces, that's where that comes from. Really drawing to a close, I'm just going to invite the worship team just to come up and join us. And as a church and as a leadership team, just like Moses in Exodus 33, where he's encountering God, and he's saying, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish us, your people, from all other people on the face of the earth?" What else will distinguish us? We want to be a people of God, the church here, who have the same desire, the same hope, the same passion. God, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from this place. Don't just send us on the journey. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us on the journey. Because what will distinguish us from our families, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, our communities that don't know you? What will distinguish us unless your Spirit goes with us? Your Spirit empowers the effectiveness of our witness. Your Spirit enables us to be emboldened to see lives and our community transformed and impacted. What will separate us unless your Holy Spirit goes with us? We're going to just enter into a time of like worship and ministry. And, you know, for me, there's a sense of I like an agenda. I like a structure. If you know me, you know this is things that I like, especially in the workplace. But with God, we don't have to worry about that. You know, what we need to be aware of is very simply that we have our openness, an openness to encounter God, an openness to receive, and the humility to recognize that we can't do it without his presence. We can't do it without his Holy Spirit working in us. We don't have to instruct the Spirit as to what the Spirit needs to do. God knows what he's going to do. We don't need to worry about that. What we need to do is come into his presence and say, "Lord, you know, as Isaiah, here I am, send me. Here I am, use me. But my prayer is this for us, that on this journey, in this new season, but more so now, in this place, right now, that we would encounter God and his presence like we have never encountered it before. That's my prayer for us. So why don't we stand, if you're able, why don't we just enter into this time and be led by the Spirit as to where he wants us to go. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. Jesus, we want to be empowered by your Spirit. We want to be effective for your purpose in our lives. We want to be an effective church for you. Lord, we want to see signs and wonders. We want to see lives saved and transformed and baptized. Lord, we want to know you more and more. Right at the beginning, as we said, Lord, will we see you do something new here? Lord, would you come among us? Lord, we ask that you would just come among us in a powerfully new way. Lord, let us encounter you here and now afresh.